The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. As you are able, please rise in body or in spirit for the reading of the gospel. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
One addendum to the announcement. I am a high school parent, a parent of a high schooler. So I happen to know that by the grace of God, Sean has extended the rock deadline to January 21st. And I was so grateful for that act of grace. I took out my phone and registered Lydia right away, just as a thank you. So I want to let you know that. I also want to let you know that the title of my sermon, "Let the River Run," is a title of a song. And I wanted you to hear what it sounded like, so I have a little video to start. When I first heard this song, Carly Simon was singing it on the radio. And I was in college, and I was in the middle of a gigantic spiritual growth spurt. I was really sort of coming into my own as a young adult Christian. I was learning new things about my faith all the time. I was really being challenged about what it was going to look like to be a Christian on my own, as a grown-up who chooses it for herself. And so when I heard this song, when I heard Carly's voice like a trumpet calling, "Let the river run, let all the dreamers wake the nations, come New Jerusalem." I didn't think about the movie this is the soundtrack for. I thought about John the Baptist. I thought a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." I thought about my brothers and sisters in Christ at the Wesley Fellowship, and the way that we wanted to help make God's dream real in the world. And every year we come to this Sunday of the church year, Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and we read again the story of Jesus's coming down to a river. And I love this Sunday because it reminds me every year that baptism is a dangerous and wild and crazy thing. Even though in Matthew's account it sounds very Shakespearean. "Let it be so now, Horatio, to fulfill all righteousness." How do I know it's a dangerous and wild thing? Just the river part tells me that. Y'all know my balance is not the best, so the idea of being baptized in an actual river already scares me. I would be balanced on a slippery rock, and I would be worried that I'd be feeling a fish brush up against my leg at any moment. The water would be too cold and too wild for me. Have you ever seen a child the first time they put their toe in the ocean? You know, you always have that moment like, now's the time, we're going to take them to the ocean. Let's see what happens. And it varies greatly child to child, okay? So no judgment, whatever your experience was. But often, when you take your child down to that gigantic body of water, loud, foaming, you know, and you say like, okay. They're looking at you like, are you crazy? You want me to put my foot in there? I mean, this is dangerous. You are on purpose taking me down here to put my foot in here. You're nuts. And then again, depending on the child, once they get used to it, that look on their face changes from like, oh no, I cannot believe this is even happening to me, to like laughter and joy and delight. Starts off interacting with something big, unruly, and wild, and then joy and delight. If I had been on the shore of the Jordan River when Jesus was baptized, it would have taken some serious encouragement. They would have had to carry me like you carry a toddler to dip me in the river. I would want to be on the shore because it's easier and it's safer. Especially since baptism was certainly not tidy and polite back then. It was a political act. It was literally a stepping out in faith. This baptism is rooted in Jewish purification rites. But John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it was an act that you did to signify that you were preparing for the coming of the Messiah. That's why you were doing it, to get ready. And it was a way to pledge allegiance to the coming Messiah. That Messiah's name was not King Herod or Emperor anybody. Which is why Rome got really nervous anytime they let the river run. You know what I'm saying? Consider John the Baptist. We all know all about him, voice crying in the wilderness, right? The precursor. And they always talk about how he was dressed and what he ate for dinner. Weird clothing, weird diet. But he was not being eccentric in doing that. He was making a political statement. Way before John the Baptist, there was a prophet called Elijah. And Elijah was always described as wearing camel's hair clothing, eating locusts and wild honey. And Elijah was supposed to show up right before the Messiah came. So every time, when John the Baptist suited up this way, right? I was going to use a football metaphor and now I can't. Well, I'm in mourning. When John the Baptist would suit up, he's making a political statement. Baptism is pledging allegiance to the king that is coming. And a whole new sort of kingdom. And it is noteworthy that Jesus would come to the Jordan to be baptized. Think about it. It's supposed to be a repentance for forgiveness of sins sort of deal. And he's the Messiah. And he's without sin. And it could not have been a good career move for him to do that, because Rome has an eye on all these people, so why would he do it? It is in fulfillment of the sort of king he's supposed to be. Barbara Brown Taylor, one of my favorite spiritual writers, puts it this way, talking about his baptism, Jesus' baptism. Even if Jesus were without sin, even if his intentions were nothing but good, it was ruinous to his reputation. Who was going to believe that he was there just because he cared about those people and refused to separate himself from them? Gossip being what it was, who was not going to think that Jesus had a few teeny-weeny things to get off his conscience before he went into public ministry? You see the problem, she writes. We spend a lot of time in the Christian church talking about God's love for sinners, but we sure do go to a lot of trouble not to be mistaken for one. Guilt by association and all that. Only Jesus, our leader and our Lord, did not seem too concerned about that. In Jesus, being God with us included God's being in the river with us. In the flesh with us, at the doctor's appointment with us, in the sorrow of repentance and the joy of new life with us. Doesn't that sound just like our Jesus? He's not content to stay on the shore of his divinity. But he's prepared to be God with us in the deep and wide waters of our real life. Getting his hands dirty in the muddy water of our bad days, our chemotherapy, our dissatisfying marriages. And having bathed with sinners, Jesus is going to spend his life eating with and living with and preaching to and healing and letting people be on committees who are broken, broken people. Jesus' life started in a stable, in a food trough. And the next time we see him, it seems like he's wading in the water of the Jordan, getting mud between his toes. A river that means God's liberation, by the way. A political river. And Jesus' life will be about being the agent of humanity's liberation. He's going to keep emptying himself over and over and over, even to the point of dying on a cross. And he'll go under the waters of death and be raised up to new life. And he's going to take us with him all the way. All the way. Of course he would start his ministry this way. Don't you find it interesting that God chose to shine a spotlight on Jesus, proclaiming, that's my boy, or words to that effect. This is my son, the beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. I've read it. I think of it as, that's my boy. God shone that spotlight on Jesus and said, that's my boy, not when Jesus was teaching in the temple. You know, but when he was in the river, water pouring over his hair, reeds around his divine ankles, it was when he was saying yes to who he was, starting the mission he was sent to accomplish, the time that he gets off the banks and gets into the water and says, let's do this thing. I picture it, John's camel's hair coat all wet, and camel's hair when it gets wet, can't smell all that great. I'm just a theory. I pictured the divine lips turning blue from cold water. And that was the time when Jesus is submitting to God's plan. When Jesus is starting to remind us of his daddy. That is when God says, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The implication is, let's have some fun. Now the party is starting. Come on down. Now when we're baptized, it may look different from this scene at the Jordan, particularly if we're baptized as babies in nice little fonts. Baptisms are photo ops. They're very cute. But baptism is just as radical for us whenever it happens. It marks the start of our faith journey. It is an outward and visible sign. Water, you can see it, touch it, get wet with it. It's an outward and visible sign of a promise that God makes to us. A promise about love and God's presence with us and God's call on our life. And we make radical promises. God makes promises to us. And we make promises to God too. And we make promises to each other. When people come to me for baptism, I tell them, well, we have one class, no heavy lifting, not like an 8-week thing, we have one class, and the purpose is so that you know a little bit about what you're getting into, because baptism is wild and a little dangerous. And as part of that, we go over the promises that people who are baptized make, because they're radical promises. You know, promises to stick with the church through thick and thin kind of promises, you know? And if babies are being baptized, those promises are made on their behalf. Promises to serve Jesus as your Lord. Promises to resist evil, injustice, and oppression. Promises to join a community of faith and serve with them with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Bam! Doesn't even say, unless you don't like the pastor or nothing. It's just a sentence. We talk about those promises because baptism is not just a solitary event. It's not like getting a tattoo. You can go by yourself, I hear, and get a tattoo. It's being baptized into a community of believers. You're being baptized into something. You're being made part of the body of Christ. That is why sometimes I'll get a call from somebody and they'll say, yeah, I don't go to Glenmar, have no intention of going to any church, but I just had a kid and I'd like for you to come over to my house and how about Thursday at 3, and you could just baptize him or whatever you do, and you know, I'll leave a key under the mat. You just come in, you do your thing, like leave a certificate, and that is not baptized. That's not how it works. I'm glad to baptize people anywhere, but I always say, it really needs to be part of a service of worship. So I got to bring a dozen people from the 9:30 and we got to sing some hymns and get the baby prayed up. It's not private. And it's personal, but it's not just personal. It is a public act. The start of our life in Christ. The making of individuals into a body. Promising to serve Christ as our Lord in a place where so many other lords want that job. It may not be a rocky hillside, but the road to the font is just as perilous and exciting. Coming down to this river to pray is not a picnic in the park. It's putting on a new robe and a new crown. It's pledging allegiance to God. This is where I had football analogies in mind. It's putting on your game day face paint, you know? Get some grease paint. Put a little thing on there. Coming in and saying, I'm with the guy that God sent to love, save, heal, and free all creation. Yeah, but how do you feel about that show on CNN? I'm with the guy that God sent to love, save, heal, and free all creation. Yeah, but in the next election, how are you going to vote? I'm with the guy that God sent to love, save, heal, and free all creation. And I don't have to worry when I don't get it right because Jesus has been in the river too. He's been in the river too. Baptism is saying no to the tyranny of evil, injustice, and oppression. Saying no to the power of sin and death. We reject it. And it is saying yes to a new Lord and a new life. And a crazy new family called the church. Once I baptized a baby who was wearing a baptismal gown that was 100 years old. And I was certain this would be the year that the pastor was going to spill something on that or tear it. And when they announced about the gown, which they made a point of doing, which upped the pressure on me considerably, the church gasped. Because they know how clumsy I am, number one. And when they gasped like that, I thought, that is appropriate any time a baptism happens. Anytime anybody is baptized, there ought to be a gasp. That comes up from the crowd. When the forces of evil take a body blow in the form of mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa who have put on their Sunday best and they have probably fought in the car if they're human and they have dressed that baby up and they have brought him here and when they come down the aisle and they squeak out, yes, I will, that there ought to be a gasp. There ought to be a gasp when the Spirit moves over the waters. When God troubles the still waters of it is what it is. Well, I guess if we don't agree, then that's just it then, I guess. The Holy Spirit moves over the still waters of, well, what's for breakfast today? Looks like we're out of milk again. And God shows up and does a new thing. When God's Spirit moves over the still waters of just another day at the office, or I think I'll have an affair because I deserve it, or the still waters of God doesn't love me anymore, there ought to be a gasp. We ought to contact the media. When 21st century people come to the font, it's every bit as revolutionary as first century Jews standing on the border to God's promised land. It's water, but it's kind of like pacifist war paint. You know, it's war paint. It's the war paint of the saints, water and spirit, God's peaceable kingdom, God's reign that is coming and in Jesus was made real and is here. Anybody who dares to come to the shores of the river to be baptized or to remember that they are baptized stands in a line that's way over 100 years old. They could get baptized in their pajamas, and they still stand with millions upon millions of God's beloved who've taken that same walk and found something in their spirit that says, you know what? I'm so done with it is what it is. I'm so done. And so choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, today we will serve the Lord. And since that's hard to do by ourselves, I'm going to do it with you crazy people. When we are baptized, we follow where Christ is leading us. And when we're baptized, we hear the voice of God saying to us, you are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And when we dry off from the river, we have a job to do. And the Holy Spirit will lead us up out of the water, just like the Holy Spirit led Jesus. And it might be, just as the Holy Spirit led Jesus dripping wet into the wilderness of temptation, it may be that the Holy Spirit leads us into the temptation too. Temptation to return to our old life. Temptation to bend our knee to some other God. The God of my own wants, desires. The God of the me I used to be. And if that happens, we've got sisters and brothers to put their arm around us and say, sorry, you're baptized, remember? You know who you are and whose you are. You're baptized. And we are baptized, like I said, into Christ, into the church. If you want to have baptism without the church, I don't even know how to do that for you. I don't even know how to do it. It's a body of Christ thing. I tell people this way, I might be able to write a sermon with caffeine and the Holy Spirit and me, maybe, the Lord says so, but I could never do Walk to Bethlehem. I can't do Walk to Bethlehem. I'm just me. On Martin Luther King Day, we will have over 1,400 people to come here to do acts of service together. I can't do that by myself. It's a together thing. It's a body of Christ thing. We're lining up to do what will be my first capital campaign ever. And I'm not all that scared about it because I know God and I know what we're about and I know what we do with God's money around here. So I'm not scared, but our consultant, you know, people who are super nice, and I'm sure you're going to love them, they were like, oh, I don't know, Pastor Mandy. It's kind of all on you. What? It's all on you. I'm like, well, let's see if we can tithe and a half. We can double my tithe. That's the most I can do. What do you mean it's all on me? Nothing about the church is all about one person ever. It's a body of Christ thing. One person can do nothing or very little, but a bunch of people can do anything that God is calling us to do. When we come up from the river, we become part of the body of Christ, working together for God's purposes. It's a body of Christ thing. And God can do anything with people who are that brave. When we baptize babies, now we give them a candle, a certificate, and a flower. And I think that's awesome, and we should continue doing that. So don't call me that I complained about the flower and the candle. We ought to also give them a fire helmet, like that firefighters wear, because we're going to send them into places where help is needed. Help is on the way. Grab your helmet and go. we ought to give them hammers for the houses they will build with Habitats for Humanity, for the bridges that they will build between people who think they can't get along. We ought to give them hammers. And we ought to give them first aid kits for the wounds that they will bind up, for the ways that they will be agents of healing and reconciliation. And I think we ought to give them bail money, and I think we ought to give it up front. Because if they are doing their job, they're going to be getting in some trouble too. Beloved, you are part of God's project for this world. God wants you for one of his own forever, and together we have a job to do. So, oh brothers, sisters, come on down. Come on down, don't you want to come down? Down to the river to pray. Or to paraphrase Carly Simon, let the river run. Let all God's dreamers wake the nations. Come the new Jerusalem. Amen.